welcome to the special On the Road edition of Geeks of the North. B. Steve and I are at Adepticon, and we're talking about what's going on here, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Welcome to the special On the Road edition of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here this week with my co-host, B. Steve.
Hi, Paul.
How's it going, Steve?
Very good, very good. Not too tired yet, so still going good.
It's because you're a machine, Steve.
I guess so.
Robot Steve.
I'm stealthy Steve.
You are stealthy Steve. This is true. Oh. Yes. Let me remove my lanyard so it stops jingling in the mic.
I'm just trying to save you some editing time.
Yeah, well.
Because if you have an entire show to try to mute the ting, 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 it's going to be a Christmas episode.
It's like an episode with Yom. Yeah. Anyway. I know. We're going to get the Yom insult out of the way right off, you know, get right to the business.
Yeah.
So we're here at Adepticon. This is the second time we've done a con together. And,
Well, actually, it's our second Adepticon together, but third
right,
con.
But, yeah. This is true. You were here at my first Adepticon.
Yeah.
But you didn't come down with me. We didn't share a room together. We didn't, you know, hang out, play a tournament together.
No.
You know. So it's a bit different. This is kind of like TempleCon.
We played in the double, Fantasy Double. You know that game with square bases? That's dead now. We did play in the double.
Oh, my goodness. That's right.
And we had beer at 9 a.m. that day.
Oh, that's true. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, so when you come to con, I drag you into playing.
That's true. Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. And you didn't drag me.
I know.
You know, there was no kicking and screaming. It was a fun event. Anyway, we'll get to that
later on.
So this is actually Sunday. So we've been here since Wednesday.
Yep.
And we have seen a crap ton of stuff. And you've played a crap ton of Guild Ball.
Yeah.
You didn't win a crap ton of Guild Ball, but you played a crap ton of Guild Ball.
I played a lot. I guess playing is learning. So I learned a lot.
For you. Well, actually,
I'm still smiling about it. So
yeah, that's it. You had fun losing?
Yeah.
So that's good. If you can have fun losing, then you'll go far in life. All right. So let's talk a little about day one or day zero, I guess.
Yeah.
So we arrived Wednesday. Fort Wapple, which is the free painting area, was being set up.
Yeah.
And it was basically a nothing to do day. The con hadn't opened yet, with the exception of one thing.
Registration?
Well, okay. Exception of two things. So, yeah, registrations. We picked up our swag bags.
Do you want to talk about that now?
Sure. Sure. We can talk about the crazy value that was in the $25 swag bag.
Which I didn't take because I said, yeah, most of the time they give a War Machine starter. And as you know, I don't play War Machine, so I didn't want to get stuck with War Machine stuff I wouldn't use. So, I didn't pick up the starter.
But and there was War Machine stuff in the swag bag.
Yeah. A paper holder, right?
Yeah. So, okay, let's go over the swag bag. So it was $25 for the regular swag bag, which is what I got. There was also a VIG version, which was
$100,
I think, yeah. And give you a bunch more stuff. I don't know what was in there because I didn't get it. But in that $25 swag bag that I did get, we had a special edition Reaper paint, a Games and Gears paintbrush.
So, two paintbrushes.
No, he got lucky.
Okay.
Yeah. So a Badger primer, so a sample of one of the new colors from Badger Paint.
Yep.
Because they released a new line of colored primers here, airbrush primers. So that's pretty useful. There was a bunch of random single minis from Victoria Miniatures and Reaper. And a couple other games, companies. There was a Blind Box Malifaux mini.
Yeah.
Which ended up being the Firestarter mini, which is pretty cool.
You had a $20 discount on a year subscription of War Dwarf as well.
Which is a good value. There was an Aliens versus Predator figure.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really nice figure, actually.
Yeah, it's nice. I saw it. It's really good. You had the Chibi pin for Guild Ball as well.
Yep, and an Adepticon limited edition pin.
Yeah.
And then we had the big hardcover rulebook for either War Machine or Hordes.
Yeah, which is really useful, you told me, correct?
Well, so here's the problem. That book still sells, and it still sells for its cover price, 60, 70, 80, whatever it is. But there are mistakes in the rule book. And, of course, they're not going to... I mean, I'm sure they'll be correct in future editions, but I think they probably have a warehouse full of the current one. And because the rules are available in their app and online for free and in every starter box...
As well.
Okay. Yeah. You get a mini rule book in every starter box. So...
Well, it's good for the fluff, I mean.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get the fluff for this edition of...
Well, no, what they've done is they moved the fluff. Some of the current army books come out still have fluff in it.
Oh, okay.
But they're moving the fluff all to the novels. So if you want the fluff and the advancement story, you'll have to read the novels.
Oh, okay.
Which are pretty enjoyable, so I don't mind that. But the last thing in the swag bag, and we, of course, you know, we've already paid for the $25 value of the swag bag several times over at this point. But the last thing in the swag bag was a little thing from Fantasy Flight.
A little thing?
Yeah, called Rune Wars, the miniatures game. And it is a, I think it's $99 US value starter box.
Yep.
For free. For a game that's not released yet. It has 40 miniatures in it, a bunch of dials like X-Wing rules. And it is an amazing looking game in terms of, I haven't played the game, so I can't talk about gameplay. I didn't get a chance to do a demo. But in terms of quality of components, which is what we come to expect from Fantasy Flight.
Yep.
And... in terms of the miniature quality, for press fit together miniatures, I have never seen anything so clean, so crisp.
And also, they're on, unlike X-Wing, they are unpainted miniature.
That's right. They're not pre-paint. So yeah. The hobbyist aspect has been preserved.
Exactly.
And like Fantasy, it's a game that takes place with big like ranks and flank units.
Yeah.
And instead of all being individually based, well, they're all individually based, but they all slot into a larger base. Instead of movement trays, these larger bases actually click together like puzzle pieces. So you can make bigger units without having to like try to put them in separate trays or whatever. So very, very interesting. Models look gorgeous. I'm actually trying to pick up from a friend at the con a second copy of that box so that Antoine and Yom and you and I can sit and play test the game and not try to pass around one box to share. It'll make the review a lot easier. But it's getting a lot of good hype. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and if I can say now, I went to their booth and they had three tables demoing the starter box as well. And it was almost full all the time.
Well, that's just it. And I went by a few times and there was always people there, so I never really got a chance to try it. This means I'll have to play with you and Antoine.
It's okay.
And you too, I guess.
If you have to.
If I have to. Twist my rubber arm. So we're pretty excited about that. There was a lot of buzz about that swag bag when we opened it. And then at like 10 p.m. at night, we had to go upstairs for a sneak preview.
After I went for my first burger of the con.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to do the burger reviews too?
No, that's okay. We don't have to do the burger reviews.
Okay. For those that don't know, Steve has a rule. It's every day he has to have a hamburger at a con.
Yeah.
And we didn't let him do it this year.
Well, I skipped. One day was yesterday night.
Yeah, that's right. We made you have a Chicago deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
From Giordano's, yeah. Sorry, Steve.
It's okay. It was very good, so it was worth the exception.
So, yeah, 10 o'clock at night on Wednesday, we went to a GW sneak preview session.
Yeah, seminar.
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the two gentlemen that were there, but I know one was head of studio. And one was head of, like, marketing, I think?
Head of community.
Community.
Yeah.
Essentially marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a different division of the marketing, I guess. And it was a very interesting seminar.
Yeah.
So indeed. We saw a lot of neat stuff from GW. Some which has already been spoiled all over.
Well, everything is spoiled on the internet.
Yeah. So what are some of the things we saw?
Well, first of all... it's a complete turnaround for the company. I mean,
yeah,
they know they screwed up the community. They didn't listen to people and everything. And now They even did meme about it, like Warhammer Age of the new the name of the
Age
new
Age of Roundtree.
Yeah, Age of Roundtree for the new CEO. So so Kirby's trace is definitely gone from the company.
Yeah, he didn't leave much legacy, eh?
No, not at all. A legacy of 8, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we say that, right? But the company... The company made more money under him.
I know.
Right? They maybe shrank market share. They shrank, but they managed to increase prices and keep making more profit, right? I guess that's a win.
Yeah. But, I mean, he alienated a lot of the community and people and, like, made it, the company less shiny. I don't know how to say it. Like,
well, it was a company, you know, by gamers for gamers. Yeah. And then it was just a corporate monster that exactly. everyone hated. And everyone played the game, or the games, but it was begrudging, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad. You know, you go to an event, you know, or you spend hundreds of hours painting, you know, a giant fantasy or 40K army, and to hate the company that produces the thing you're spending hundreds of hours on, that's some strange form of torture, right? Think about it.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know.
What else in life would you do? Like, oh, I hate that company. I hate the way they treat me, and I hate the way they do this. But I'm going to buy their products anyway.
Because it's gorgeous models.
You know, aside from giant pharmaceutical companies where we have no choice.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much the same thing. It's plastic crack.
But anyway, so definitely the community had a weird kind of feeling towards Games Workshop, right?
But now it's getting really good recognition and support from the company.
Yeah. Well, just the community website.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference, right? The videos and the Warhammer TV and the FAQs, the largest release of FAQs ever.
And they do weekly live streaming of game.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were here all weekend streaming in the main... They played
in the team tournament.
Yeah,
right?
I know. And that's, they had crazy. A team and they played in the AOS doubles and in the 40K team tournament as well. So, yeah.
We've not seen that in forever, right?
No, never.
So, it's definitely a different GW.
Yeah. I think probably the GW delegation from UK was probably around like 10 people or so.
Yeah.
So, that's big. And so, in the keynote, they showed like what they're going to do for community and everything. And then they went for 40K. We got a sneak peek of Plastic Dead Guards.
Yeah.
With a really sneak peek of a sight. Who knows?
Yeah, that maybe Mortarian?
Maybe not. Knows? We don't know. They didn't confirm anything, but yeah.
It's not like plastic Primarchs haven't been good for them, right?
No, exactly.
But the new Death Guard looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous as Nurgleed Space Marines look, but you know what I mean? And in terms of the sculpts and stuff,
yeah, yeah.
It looks fantastic. And then what else did we see?
A new release of a new game.
Well, not released.
Well, no. An announcement of a new
and that's game. Right. So a new competitive format game geared at being competitively played.
Exactly.
And when I saw this, I was very hesitant.
Yeah, especially from what we've heard from the first seminar. It's a competitive game. It's miniature and deck building game. So,
yeah.
So you go there and it's going to be crap and it's going to be... You didn't get a good impression. Then you look at the miniature and
the miniatures are gorgeous.
It's GW mini, so it's gonna be good. They're gorgeous and everything. It's the faction we saw was the Stormcast and some Khorne
Bloodbound
Khorne. Yep. And then Paul and I had a chance to play, and we were taught the game by Robin Crudus, who's been around the company for numbers of years.
Yeah, exactly. And so we played one complete turn.
One complete turn actually.
Yeah, which doesn't sound like a lot, but actually, because it's based off model activations.
It's alternate activation.
Yeah, so it was a fair amount of time, like 20 minutes.
Yeah, something.
And first impressions are quite good. I did not expect to enjoy this. I went into this game being completely unenthused.
Yeah,
same
for me.
Which the demoer actually noticed because he asked me, at one point, even after the game, I was all kind of confused because I couldn't understand why I liked it. And he's like, "What was your favorite part of the? What was your favorite part of the seminar?" Yeah. And I'm like, "I don't know. Like, I couldn't even think of if I had a favorite part, right?" And then he demoed the game to us.
Yeah,
that's right. So that's what it was. And I mean, we won't go into rules because it won't make any sense over radio, but it involved miniatures playing on a game board, similar to what we've seen from the board games recently.
Yeah, it's Hexbase.
Yeah, Hexbase. And which I think they also did in their Gore Chosen board game.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
And you move models on a board. You're trying to get to objectives and complete objectives. You have objective cards. So you draw those randomly and your objectives change. And then you have cards that you can play to do extra abilities and equipment to equip on models and stuff.
Exactly.
So as the game goes on, think of it like Magic the Gathering, where you may have enchantments to put on creatures or world effects to play or whatever.
Exactly.
It was very, very interesting. And of course, they're going to sell upgrade packs where you can buy new warbands with new cards that you can put into your deck to take out old cards.
Yeah, because you're going to have a base deck with cards common to everybody, and then you put in or out the deck
the cards the
for
band.
Your I was going to say faction, but yeah, warbands. It's more precise for there.
Yeah, and they're going to be sold as warbands, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 models, whatever it is, depending on. I'm assuming it's, you know, Skaven warbands or whatever factions come out later will have more miniatures because
And there's some place for scenery as well. Mm-hmm. Some X's can be full and count as obstacles, so it's a bit more strategic than just rushing forward towards your opponent.
Absolutely.
And you can move you can move the tile around, so it gives boards flexibility. So all in all, at first I was it looks good and everything, but
the more we thought about it
and there's a ranking system, like qualifiers.
They've got something there.
They have something really with lots of potential.
Yeah.
And also they mentioned that all the miniatures from Shadowspire will have War Scroll for AOS as well.
That's right.
So you'll be able to use those mini in AOS, so.
And then we also asked about a 40K version of the game, and they kind of just smiled at us. We're like, well, you know, we have to see how this does. And then, you know, so basically it means, if this does well, we'll probably see a 40K version
exactly.
of the game. Which is not really surprising at all.
Not at all.
So that was Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so that takes us on to day one. Now, day one for me was mostly shopping and socializing and making some arrangements with people for Chaos Ludzik sponsorship.
Yeah.
So... you know, not a terribly exciting day for me. You know, I did do some shopping for a few different items. I picked up, I think it was on Thursday, I picked up, I picked up a Guild Ball mat. I picked up some Steinle Res primers, some of the new primers. I think I picked up did I pick up the airbrush that day?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I picked up, so I picked up the Adepticon Limited Edition airbrush. From Badger. And I wasn't looking for a newer brush when I came here. But it dawned on me, I was actually looking at, well, so when looking at his booth, I realized one thing that could be useful for me is something that has a large diameter needle, like the Patriot 105 that I have, but with a smaller paint cup. Because the Patriot 105 has like just a giant cup on it, and I find it gets in the way. And,
well, it's perfect for priming and like scenery.
Well, if I'm doing a whole army or scenery, sure.
Yes, for scenery, because like if you have big surface or like the Zuzzy mat as well.
Yeah, so. For sure. But if I'm doing a miniature.
No.
Or a couple miniatures, it's just a big paint cup and it's more hassle to clean and it gets in the way. So I asked me if I had something that was a 0.3... needle, because I was originally looking for a chrome with a small cup, which exists, called the Chrome Jet. And he was like, I don't have that here. But he's like, I've got the Adepticon, you know, limited edition charity airbrush. So I'm like, okay. He goes, all the proceeds from the sale of that airbrush go to a charity, because I'm hoping to hit $2,000 this year. Because last year, I think they said did $1,600. I'm like, okay, no problem. So I looked at it, and it's actually very similar to a Patriot 105. With a lot of the new improvements they did for the Extreme 105, the high roller trigger and the different tip and stuff, but it has a small paint cup. So I picked that up. I made a charitable donation. That's right. I didn't buy stuff. I donated to charity.
You did a good deed.
Exactly. See, so exactly. Think for the children or whatever I'm going to do. It's all
like in a Simpson. Like, think of the children.
Exactly. What else? Oh, yeah, I bought some Guild Ball models. I picked up a seasoned brisket.
Yep.
And picked up some stuff from Museum Minis. And I picked up some more tabletop world terrain from Broken Egg Games.
Okay.
To complete my table.
As if it was not complete enough?
Well, I wanted one more building.
Okay.
Maybe two. So I picked up what I didn't have. I picked up the little merchant stand.
Okay.
So now combined with your pile of vegetables, we could have a complete merchant.
Yeah, we could. Could have a merchant's table team.
Exactly.
Farmer's market.
And aside from that, I spent some time at Fort Waffle, painting with Jim Waffle. Always a pleasure. You know, for me, it wouldn't be Adepticon if it wasn't time for Jim Waffle.
Well, your spiritual father.
Well, exactly. He's my my soulmate, yeah. But no, I just enjoy spending time with him and watching him paint because it's an experience.
Yeah.
Right. And he's such a fountain of knowledge. Sometimes you wish you could turn off the fountain or turn it down a little bit. But, you know, he's got so much information that he loves to share it. So it's really cool. And since this year I didn't take any classes, I got to spend more time hanging out with him, which was a good time. You, on the other hand, had no free time on Thursday.
No, because I started my first Guild Ball tournament of the weekend.
So. That's right. At 9 a.m.?
It was, yeah, the registration.
Supposed to be at 9, yeah.
It was at 9, but we started late. We started around like 10, something like that.
Right.
So I was up for a 32-man tournament. So that meant 5 rounds of gaming.
Mm-hmm. Which finished when? Like 7:30 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
It was brutal.
Yeah. So, started my first game, played against Union. I lost miserably. You're going to sense a team here going. Yeah.
It was not your best day playing Guild Ball.
No, exactly. And then my second game, I lost again, was against Union again. And my third game, is that the one I won or lost again?
I think I lost that one too.
Yeah, I lost that one too.
I think you won game 4.
It's only game 4. No, it's only game 5 I won. Very bottom of the pile. I won my last game. I won my last game. It was against Butchers.
The guy just started playing, right?
Yeah.
See, clubbed a baby seal. Take the victory where you can get it, Steve. Low-hanging fruit. It's still fruit.
So, yeah, it didn't go well at all. Well, some of the match were really close, though, so it was fun.
It's not like you don't know how to play, right?
No. I ended up playing 3 Unions out of 5 games. And out of 32 people, I've counted around 11 people.
That's a big part of the
playing
field, right?
Yeah, it's a third of the team playing Union. And yeah, we were only 2 morticians. And no brewers were there at that qualifier. The rest of the team were pretty much represented. Second being alchemists. That's what the most after Union, probably around 6. And so, like around half the field was represented by only 2 of the 9 guilds.
Yeah, and it's funnier because your guild, how many people were playing morticians?
2.
Right. And a year ago, how many people were playing morticians?
Probably 16 out of 32.
Yeah, right. So it's interesting to see how the meta has changed so drastically in a year.
Well, because they change everything in season 3. So like alchemists really, they got the player they needed to
when alchemists were already quite good. In season 1, alchemists were doing very well.
In season 2 as well, but they were missing a small punch. And veteran catalyst is that small punch you needed. So, and Union, it's just because it's easiest to win with them. That's because, like, Union players are there to patch holes in other team, but when you take only the player that are good, when you play Union, I mean, there's really no flaw to them.
So, I suppose that's true, right?
And Vetrage is such a machine. That's how two out of three were playing Vetrage. So. I was surprised we saw a lot of seasoned brisket, which was coming on the Friday, even though we were Thursday. Lots of people had them at her in advance.
I picked her up like a week or two before.
Yeah, because there was the Bourbon Trail Open, the tournament that was in a distillery in the U.S.
Right. So I remember hearing about that.
So they had a number of models for pickup there. So that's where people got them. And like local game store, even though they like, well, you know, it's same thing in for GW stuff. Like they received their order on Monday or Tuesday.
And they released it ahead of time.
Yeah, and they are allowed to sell it only by Saturday. But like, sometime if you're a friend with the manager or something like that, they'll slip it to you anyway, and you just...
Yeah.
You didn't get that from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of deal. So that's why a couple of people had them, at her. So that ended up really badly for me, with one win and four defeat. That was the start of my Adepticon.
And it kind of like set the tone for the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, it did. It did. But that's okay, because after that, we went for a burger at Kuma's Corner.
That's right.
Oh, and I did some shopping, too, though, during the day as well. I picked up the limited edition Avarice and Greed.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
lucky man.
Yeah, I was there on the first day. I picked up a mat as well, almost.
It was a limited edition con exclusive mat, right?
Yeah,
only
that's why.
Steam Con and Adepticon.
Exactly. So, and it's the kickoff design, but in a mouse pad material. Mm-hmm. Pad. I went to Badger's booth because 2 years ago I got caught and went on a Saturday and didn't have any more needles. So I wanted to be sure to have needles for my Sotar. And also, well, I gave my Patriot to Paul so he could clean it up, and seems I'm missing a couple of pieces. So.
Yeah, like the nozzle.
Yeah.
And the
so instead
the spring and the tensioner for the spring.
Yeah. So instead of buying all the pieces, I bought a new Patriot instead, and I'll buy the pieces later on, like order them online and check.
But what a good value, eh?
Yeah, it's $65. I mean, you cannot go wrong.
No.
And also, I feel dirty because I bought some PP stuff, Paul. I went to the booth twice.
Privateer Press product. I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
I know. Actually, I was ninja shopping for Benoit, Yom, and also I went back for another bust on the day after for Max, another local painter. So, yeah.
So, yeah, we... I forgot to mention that I went to Arena Rex and got some stuff for Antoine.
Oh, right.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, the guy on the horse.
Dexterius on Yuane, the horse. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, really cool mini.
I didn't buy Arena Rex because we didn't play the game yet, and I have four models, so I figured I'd be safe for now.
Yeah, it's still tempting.
Yeah, I know.
15% off, and things are so expensive to import.
Yeah, well, and especially like even if we get a big order as a group with free shipping, we'll get it by customs. So, like last time,
as we know
time,
from experience,
yeah, from hands-on experience,
it was like $70 in customs or something last time. It's insane.
65, I think, 60 or 65. Yeah,
whatever it was
yeah,
insane.
Yeah, it was horrible. So, and the burger at Kuma's were really good.
Yeah. Now, and Kuma's, for those that don't know,
the music was awesome because it was all metal.
Wow, way to explode the mic. Thanks. My ears appreciate it.
That's sorry for the people who had high volume.
Oh, I'll fix your volume for that so they won't die. But my ear is bleeding right now. Thanks. So it's a heavy metal burger bar.
Exactly.
And fantastic food. So if you're ever in the Schaumburg area, check out Kuma's Corner because it's amazing.
Yeah.
Also have to like metal because they play Slayer and stuff all the way through your meal.
All the burgers' names are after metal bands as well.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. I had the Yob. I don't know what you had.
Oh, I had their special. All special because there was an egg on top of it.
Right, right. You had like the equivalent of a breakfast burger. Weirdo. Okay. So, that basically...
was Thursdays.
Yeah, it's Thursday. So, that takes us to Friday.
Yeah.
Now, Friday, your Friday started off a lot like your Thursday.
With a loss, right? Well, with more guild balls. I was going
to say with a tournament.
Okay. With more guild balls.
Also a loss.
Actually, I won.
You won your first game? You won the first game.
I won.
Well, and we thought you'd kick the habit.
Yeah, I won against the Hunter. So I have a Hunter team, so I know them pretty well.
Like clubbing seals.
Yeah. No, actually, he was playing good, and I won because of the clock. He clocked out. That's why I win.
But it's not exactly the strongest team in the game right now.
No.
Yeah.
But, and I struggle, so there's something wrong with me, Paul. I lost my...
your mojo.
Yeah, I guess so. And second game I lost, it was against Mason, I think. No, I don't remember. Third game was against Eric. He was playing Union. And I don't, we talk a lot together because I recognize him, and he's a former fantasy player as well. So he was going to he went here to TempleCon, but he was going to the, what's the name? Near Rochester, New York. The boys. Yeah, he was going to the boys as well. So I've met it several times at tournament, and now he switched to Guild Ball. So,
like everyone else?
Yeah, like a lot of people. So I had the pleasure to play him. I won. And then after it was 2-loss, one against, I think it's, one was against Union, and the last one, I think it was against Alchemist or... I don't remember. Anyway, on that day, at least I had the chance to face five different guilds. So that was a bit more enjoyable than facing three unions back to back. So, yeah, that was my day too. So another glorious one victory and four losses.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It's okay, Steve. We still love you.
Thank you, Paul. And
yes, this is so bad. Anyway, Friday for me, I didn't do much. A little bit more shopping, a little more socializing, a little bit of drinking. Not necessarily in that order. Did some more painting because, you know, I drive or I fly, you know,
with
3 hours away to Chicago to sit down and paint models that I could paint at home. Because that's the way it works.
Well, you paint Fat Siren for the Saturday.
That is right. So yeah, I sat down in the morning and I assembled and painted Veteran Siren. Primed her, painted her. Did a fairly good job on her.
An awesome job.
And then, what else did I do? Oh, I think I also, I played a little bit of Guild Ball. I played against my buddy Ben.
Oh yeah.
Played a little game of Guild Ball. Killed some butchers. It's always fun. And that was really about it. Friday was kind of chill for me.
And we went to Stonehouse Brewery or something like that?
Stonewood Ale House.
Yeah.
Yeah, which had okay food, but good beer.
Yeah.
So, not a bad trade. And definitely reasonable pricing. $6 a pint?
Yes. Yeah,
hard to go wrong.
Exactly.
I can't complain too much. But yeah, so that... And on Friday, I spent a lot of time... talking with James Wapple about oil painting on miniatures. And that looks like something that's very interesting. So I'm going to have to start experimenting, I think.
And you have to remember, though, don't lick your brush.
Yeah.
You're going to be dizzy at the end of the day.
I thought I was going to get high off the fumes because he sat there with that stuff.
Yeah, with a thinner?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, odorless thinner, my arse. Anyway, but it was really an eye-opening experience because you can keep working the paints so long. The only thing is you can't, like, paint it and play with it.
Yeah.
Right? Because they take days to dry. But because you can keep working the paint, if something goes wrong, you can just wipe the paint off and start over. Or you want to blend a little bit, or you just kind of smudge the brush and feather it out and smudge it. You know, you can do your blending. On the fly, it really makes them Bob Ross. Because Bob Ross was... you don't know who Bob Ross is?
No. The guy with the...
the fro.
Yeah. I've never... People keep telling me to watch that on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. So...
I should.
But he's an oil painter.
Yeah.
Right? And he is... The personality is very similar in a lot of ways. Very, very relaxed.
Okay. Yeah.
But the thing about oils, and if you watch that show, is you see oil paints where they're manipulated is you put them on the canvas, but then you stretch them out, right? And you pull them around and you push them and then, you know, you can make the oil paint do what you want to do. With acrylic, you put it on the model, you've got a little bit of working time and then it's done, right? So it was very interesting to see what he could do with these oil paints and how he can manipulate them for hours afterwards.
Okay.
You know, like literally hours. You know, I'm going to apply a highlight. It's been 2 hours. It's okay. I can blend that into, you know, I can feather it in with the stuff on the edge because it's not really dry. Grab a clean brush and start feathering, right? It's been pushing the paint together. It's pretty impressive.
Especially with the brushes you use.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go into that. We discussed that before in previous shows. He's a little bit of magic. And yeah, that was really it for Friday.
Yeah.
You know, I think I actually bought the airbrush on Friday because I think I resisted buying.
Okay.
On Thursday. I think the airbrush I finally caved on Friday while waiting for you to finish your tournament.
Oh, okay. So that's my fault?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I was waiting for you to finish your tournament because I was starving and I was having to be standing next to the Badger booth and then one thing led to another. All right.
You spent too much time talking with Ken. That's what happened.
Well, you know, he's a good salesman. And that takes us to Saturday. Now, Saturday, you and I played in a kind of fun Guild Ball tournament.
Yeah, I dragged you into playing a tournament.
I don't recall me saying no ever. In fact,
I know.
You mentioned it and I said I was in.
No, I know. But I know knowing you like for three games in a day is rough.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing your face when they announced we were doing a fourth round. You said, crap. And especially your knee was hurting a bit.
Yeah, no, my knee has been really problematic this con. So. And actually, I found that standing over the gaming table was worse because I leaned forward.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of weight on it. Anyway, but it was a fun day.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it at all, and I would definitely do it again. Yeah, did I wish there was three rounds? Sure. Did I care there was four? Not really.
Because the fourth one was really fun against the last guys.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
Brewers and Butchers with the pig over the pool as a goal.
Yeah, the dunk tank. Pig on the dunk tank, yeah.
They won best gold with that.
So we're playing team format, which is a bit different than regular Guild Ball. Because it's three players.
From each guild.
Per player from each guild.
No
captains. And mascots are optional.
Yeah, if you want, you can take a mascot as one of your three players. But you don't share influence, so...
That's right.
It's a bit more... rough because you're down one less influence.
I wonder if you could field four mascots and two players.
I think it's only one mascot, though.
That'd be awesome.
I would have to check, yeah.
That would be fun. We'd lose horribly. The game would only last 10 minutes, but it would be funny to see people's faces pulling out four mascots and two players. Anyway, so fun format. We went 50-50.
Yeah.
Right? Two wins, two losses.
Yeah.
And the people we lost against... came in second and third in the tournament.
Exactly. So
and it was a 12 team, so 24 men.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So it was good fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I just wish that it was 50 minutes on the clock instead of 45, so it would be a bit more relaxed.
You've got to spend time talking to your partner, figuring out what you're doing, so you're losing, you're burning clock for everything.
So you just go YOLO.
Especially when, you know, I was not... poor Steve. I think it was game two or something. He was like, Paul, you need to play faster. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, that's the game we clocked out. Game two.
Yeah.
Against the people who said, don't worry about the clock. We'll never clock out. The game will be finished.
Yeah, and they only had a minute left, right?
They had a minute. Yeah, we were clocked out and they were 1 minute. They had 1 minute left.
40 seconds
or something like that. So.
So, yeah. Believe me. Clock won't be an issue for us. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was kind of funny to watch them. I think at one point we were ahead on the clock and they started panicking.
Yeah.
Right? And they had like one guy had a hand like over the clock. Like,
Yeah. They're really edgy on the clock.
Yeah. So, anyway, overall, good experience.
Yeah. I think we should give a shout. We should tell our local pundit wink, wink, Antoine, to try to organize a double tournament for Gilball at one point.
Yeah, I think that could be fun.
Could be a good event.
Yeah, you'll have to find a better partner.
No, I
you don't want to play with me.
Actually, we had a better performance when I had a better record when I'm with you than when I'm playing alone. So yeah, I need to bring you along for sure.
Also, as we played, because I don't play a lot of Guild Ball, right? So after the first couple games, when I kind of started remembering what the rules were and seeing stuff on the table better, I became more useful, at least. Yeah. I wasn't just standing there as being rolling dice for you, right?
And I remember, like, when we went to we did a gaming day at your place during the holiday season, something like that. I told you, yeah, use Vet Siren. She's really good. You weren't not too sure. And after four games, I think you changed your mind.
Yeah, no. She's so good. She's so good.
Just fast, reliable, almost
hard to kill.
Hard to kill.
I mean, she did get taken out once or twice.
Once.
At least once, yeah.
The other time she was pushed out of the pitch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I didn't realize Harry could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my biggest limitations in Guild Ball is that I don't know what the other teams do. So I never know what to expect. It's always a surprise. And I really thought I was safe where I was because I was 5 inches from the edge. Yeah, right?
But
expect the chain of attacks that would push me over.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. I didn't see it coming too, so.
Yeah. You live and learn, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But overall, it was a good experience, and we get to meet some cool people. DC from Steamforge was there. He was running the tournament.
You almost said from Puppeteer Press.
Yes, I did. That's okay. I got it right. I could have said from Clockwork Phoenix. That was his other company, too, between the two, right? DC is a game developer, and he's done some fantastic work. With other companies before Steamforge. I think he's the lead developer on the Dark Souls game that Steamforge is launching. And, of course, he works on Guild Ball.
Yeah, he's responsible for Brain Pan and Memory.
For which I'm forever thankful.
Yeah.
What a cool concept. Anyway.
And after that, we went for pizza.
Yeah, we went to Giordano's. And you get to experience your first Chicago, real Chicago deep dish pizza, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pizza over pizza.
Yeah, it's like a sandwich. Yeah, it was, and it was fantastic.
It was really good.
Right. And
it was a good thing to cheat to my burger.
Yes, exactly.
I'm cheating on burgers. No.
then we came back to the event hall and...
You went to Fort Wapple?
No. I went to play some War Machine.
Oh, true. I went for, because like I was kind of sad because we only had four rounds, so I was missing a game of Guild Ball. So I went and I had a pickup game in the hall.
Yeah, one thing we should add actually, we forgot for Saturday, is in the morning before our tournament, we went around and we looked at the 40K display tables.
Yeah, well, I went.
We went. You saw afterwards. In the hallway,
I saw the cut.
The cut, yeah, but we saw them all in the morning.
Yeah.
In the tournament hall for 40K.
Exactly. Well, so while they were setting up.
Yeah. For those that don't know, a big component of the 40K tournament here is the army display.
Well, the 40K team tournament is the main event of Adepticon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what? Usually it's around 100 to 125 teams or so. Teams of four. So it's around 400 to 500 people playing.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal here.
Yeah. 40K.
And these people make gorgeous theme boards.
Huge.
Yeah, display. Some people have like some 6x4 displays or several feet high. And one of our buddies had a really awesome display. Actually, two of your buddies, yeah.
Yeah.
One was a crashed Imperial ship.
Yeah. With Gene Steeler crawling all over the ship.
Yeah, and
the drop pods assaulting, trying to rescue everything.
Yeah, exactly. And the other one was... just an Imperial Guard force, I think. I don't know what else was on the...
Which one?
Schizos.
Yeah, he had the...
No, it was Imperial Guard. Part of it was.
Okay.
Because he had Manticores and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, I thought it was more demons. I didn't... No, it was Imperial? Okay, correct.
Okay.
Okay, I mixed in the army.
I don't remember what... There was another half.
Yeah.
But I just remember the Imperial Guard part.
And his work was really good on the army.
Exactly. exactly. It was gorgeous stuff. And we saw some gorgeous Eldar armies.
Yeah.
You know, people do some awesome things with Wraith Knights, painting the faces on the head.
Oh, yeah, the freehand on the faces of the Wraith Knights. Some people are just doing some amazing job. It's
yeah, and I can't imagine doing a whole army like that. I mean, okay, sure, it's low model count for 40K,
but yeah, still, but like still
30, 40 models, and it's obviously, you know, hundreds of hours of dedication.
Yeah. And there was even a display with a running fountain.
Yeah, that's right.
Some had...
and I forgot about JF's army.
Yeah, he had LEDs all underneath the wooden surface.
Yeah, like pegboard or whatever, so it would shine through.
Exactly, and the painting was really good. The Eldar mixed with the Possess at the end, like further into the portal. And he had the conversion,
the Centaur Wraith Knight.
Yeah.
Based off the original epic figure.
Exactly. That was cool.
And the board was all painted, so every model
had a
specific space because because it was Eldar, there was like a pattern painted into the ground.
Yeah, it was engraved in the
went
wood.
It went over the bases. So each model, it was like a puzzle, they said, that they had to try to put it together. You would think they would have numbered them to make it easier, but
no, I don't think they
did. No, I know they didn't, because they said they took them hours to do it, and then once they got them in, they transported them all in the...
They didn't plan for that.
But yeah, that was another gorgeous army.
Yeah. Another great display. The army was well painted too, but the webway portal, the two-sided display.
The double-sided display where one that coming out like on Ice World, and on the other side it was the webway.
Yeah, exactly. That was really nicely done.
Yeah, it's always impressive to see what people will do.
Yeah, there's several display, like it's three-story high building with things inside. There was another one meant to be like on top of a ship that was the Realm of Battle 40K.
Oh, yeah.
With the Imperial Fist on top. Mm-hmm. And
it's supposed to be like the assault on the hull of a ship.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a Tiki team display.
Yeah, we didn't see any models in it, though. There was the Tiki, like...
I saw some models, like...
I saw one dragon, the Chaos.
Yeah, it was Chaos, and it was a Chaos Sorcerer in Terminator armor, wielding fire. That's good radio. I'm mimicking the pause of the model. But he's having a fire blast or something in his hand, and he's paws on the board doing surf.
Oh, I missed that.
It was just in front of the army because they made the cut. So, and there was lots of, like, for objective, it was a small Tiki gods sculpture. Like, it was cool.
Like I said, it's amazing the amount of work people do.
People put, screens with moving stories and stuff like that.
That was insane. That table. They're programming it. We were there trying to get it set up.
Yeah, it's side display. I mean... And there was another one that used an old phone or something like that, phone-sized tablet to program and to have a loop of a webway, like, in there. Yeah. Not much smoke machine, though, this year. Usually,
no, that's true. Yeah, we didn't see any dry smoke machines.
Yeah, usually there's at least one or two with smoke machine, but not this year, so.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
So, yeah, I had a chance to look at all the displays who made the cut in the evening. Right, because
they display them out in the main hallway in the evening.
Yeah. That's so impressive.
Yeah. I can't say enough about the people who spend the time to do that type of work.
Yeah.
I mean, I paint armies, and I don't paint to that level. I can't paint to that level. Not for a whole army. I would probably hurt myself.
End up your head banging on the wall.
Well, exactly, right? Like, it's just crazy. I mean, good for them.
So, back to your War Machine game with Ben.
Yeah, so my buddy Ben and I played some War Machine in Iron Arena.
Yeah.
Now, it's really strange. Iron Arena is open play. Or at least it is everywhere else. But here, there's actually a fee to do Iron Arena.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I just played an open play game. They said it didn't really matter. Obviously, I couldn't accrue points or skulls, as they call them, to get stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I played an open play game against my buddy Ben, Amanad Raza, versus his Vlad 1 Winter Guard rocket spam, for lack of a better term. And I lost, but it was a good game. It ran a bit long, but Okay, it ran more than a bit long, but it was a good game. No complaints. And I had some fun. And now here we are on Sunday.
Yeah.
The show is winding down. Obviously, there's not much going on today. We've done a little bit more shopping, whatever. But what's your overall impression of the show this year compared to the last time you came 2 years ago? How do you feel about Adepticon?
It's getting bigger.
It is. Eh? Like, it really does feel like it's getting more and more.
Because all the second floor as well was full. Well,
yeah.
Full.
Yeah, practically full. And even just look at the vendor hall. Look how many more vendors were here this year than 2 years ago.
And X-Wing was really big this year.
Well, X-Wing's always been big, but it's got more of a presence here than it used to. Absolutely.
So
there were some huge tournaments yesterday or 2 days ago. It was 2 days ago for X-Wing, I think.
Yeah. Well, almost every day there was huge tournament.
I couldn't get over it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's getting bigger.
And it doesn't seem to have that type of presence back home. I'm sure there's people that play it.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of people playing it, but it's like they go to store event. And
that's it.
Yeah, there's lots of store event.
I just don't see the... I don't know. I guess I just don't see it.
It's
not there at the same time.
Yeah, you're not in the same Facebook group as well, so you don't see like when they meet and everything, but it's pretty big in Montreal.
Cool. I definitely think it's gotten bigger. Organization, it gets better and better every year. Like, everything was so streamlined.
Yeah. Registration was done in the
breeze.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the venue is functional. It's clean. It's nice. It's a pretty new hotel. I really wish they could do something with the concession prices to make it slightly more reasonable, because it seems like the concession prices have gotten worse and worse every year.
Yeah. Well, people bring in food because, I mean...
Yeah, well, and they're not supposed to.
I know.
But when it's $5 for a fountain soda and $5 for a hot dog, no fries, no nothing, just a plain old hot dog.
It's out of hand. Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. If they could just fix that a little bit, like if it was $3 for a hot dog... Well, I'd probably grin and bear it. But like $5 is insane.
And especially with our crappy dollar, it means it's a $7.50.
$5 for a fountain soft drink, for a glass of fountain soft drink.
Which is 10 cents.
If that. Like, it's not like it's a gallon glass. Yeah. It's not like the movie theater size glasses, right? Yeah. I don't know what to say. So I found that was a bit of a ripoff, but the venue is nice.
Yeah. Venues,
tons of bathrooms, right? So no lineups in the bathroom.
And there was a water dispenser all over the place.
So you didn't have to buy the soda. You could have water.
Yeah.
Which was fine. You know, I used it frequently. Overall, I think the show was just great. I mean, if I was more of a tournament player, there'd be more for me here to do.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I have a lot of friends here. It's a social event for me. But if you're looking for tournament play... This is the place to go.
Yeah, you have everything. Any small game you could play. Like,
there's tournaments for everything.
Yeah. Think of any game Antoine mentioned in the during the year, and probably you can find a tournament about that.
That's true. It was pretty impressive overall.
Yeah. And one thing we didn't mention, that today we did one last round of shopping.
Yeah. And Crystal Brush. Wow, Crystal Brush.
There were some amazing entries. I don't know. This is another thing that gets better every year. Yeah. I mean...
Well, I was talking to Matt DiPietro, who is a well-known miniature painter. He used to paint for Privateer Press.
Yeah.
And he said that the best painters of sculpture that have ever existed are alive today. And that it's a pity that the fine art people don't seem to realize this. Like, miniature painting is not considered
art.
an art form, right? And it really should be. Because if you look at what some people do...
And sculpt, like the Space Wolf Terminator, it's all sculpt.
Yeah, it's all custom.
So.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, or Ben Comet's piece, The Lord of Change.
Oh.
The painting on that is phenomenal.
And this is amazing.
And then you have some really, like... Some artistic pieces, like Jessica Rich's piece, very artistic and you know, emotional piece, not a wargaming piece, right? Matt DiPietro's piece was very much a fine art piece. I don't know if you saw it. It was like a woman inside a shell, whatever. With the resin.
You know, okay,
it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was really good.
But it's definitely more of a fine art piece than a miniature like we typically see.
Like miniature wargaming. There was some amazing bust as well.
Yeah, and then the historical section is growing here too. So it's really pretty phenomenal how that competition is bringing people out of the woodwork.
Yeah, Yom, you have to start working hard, harder to make it next year and bring your A game.
Yeah, I think, you know, but I see Yom developing. It's funny, right? Because every year, you know, we see him trying new stuff and trying different things, and we see him developing as a painter. Yeah. So it's very possible. I mean, right now, honestly, I think it would be very hard
to make the cut.
Maybe make cut.
Okay.
But win.
Yeah.
But in a couple of years, we could definitely see Yom up there.
Yeah.
Man, I hate to say good things about him online.
Okay, we'll stop. We'll change.
Cut that out of the show.
Yeah, cut that out. Change subject.
Ego would never stop. God. Yom myself. So it's funny because we looked at a piece today and we're looking at like, you know what that piece needs? Some Yom SL.
Yeah.
And then Gaki's, I think it really could have, because
it would have helped the piece.
Yeah, definitely some source lighting would have helped. Yeah, but you know, and Crystal Brush, you know, big props to Jen Haley and all the people at Cool Mini that run that, because it's a lot of work. And I hope the online voting goes better this year and that there's less drama around the whole competition, because that's always kind of a downer. I mean, any competition with a public vote component, the better technical piece may not win because people may just like something that's less well done better.
Yeah, they will maybe
it's
like
weighted at 50%. So
they maybe will want to vote for a cooler looking model rather than the
rule of cool is a big thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's how we base everything. Right?
So. Exactly. And admittedly, pieces look much better in picture in person than in picture, because last night you showed me the Lord of Change and I had a chance to see him today in flesh. And the picture is nothing compared to the real thing. It doesn't
do it justice.
It's not
the picture
even
looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't say it doesn't look good on the picture, but it doesn't give the recognition the model needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. It's just not the same. All right. Is there anything else we haven't really covered?
We're going for a burger again tonight?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, tonight's a mystery. We'll see how the universe unfolds before me. But on that note, I want to thank you, Steve, for doing this with me and for hanging out with me at the show. It was a great time.
Yeah.
I would love to get the whole team down for a convention at some point.
Yeah,
if we could ever manage that, it would be great. I think Adepticon is a fantastic show. If you're a painter, you know, and a hobbyist, or if you're a tournament player, I think this is the show.
Yeah. And there's many people I missed. Like since I couldn't make it last year, I had a chance to catch up with people I only see at con.
Yeah.
Brandon Palmer, Domus, to name those two.
And actually, shout out to Brandon, because he had his awesome booth this year where it was just like...
He was just there.
Just there with some random stuff and like stuff from his house.
Yeah.
Like some of the decorations from his house and a Super Nintendo playing video games.
Like he was saying, he said, I'll be at the booth, so it's going to be easier for people to find me than rather for me to hunt people around in the con. So that's what he did this year.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, what a fantastic guy, fantastic painter. Yeah. Always lots of fun. But I think for the price, I mean, the only other event like this I can think of would be LVO. Las Vegas Open, also a big tournament event.
So we could go to Vegas, maybe. Viva Las Vegas.
Okay, down, Steve. But the flights here were so cheap.
Yeah.
Like, much cheaper than going to Vegas, even. It was $300 round trip.
Yeah.
How do you go wrong, right? So I think, especially it's also closer to Toronto, it's closer to everywhere. So I think if you're in Canada and you can only do one show, I think it should probably be Adepticon.
Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest around.
Yeah.
And since they don't include the swag bag was optional, the price, the entry fee for the con was cheaper this year than 2 years ago and last year. Yeah, it was
$25 or $30
$40.
No, I'm pretty sure it was cheaper than that.
Okay.
I think it was $30 for the ticket for the con.
So, yeah.
So, very affordable.
And like each tournament, depending on which tournament you're doing, it's like $25, $30. So, that's not too bad.
Yeah. And they have good price support. And
yeah, you know. Lots of price support.
Yeah, exactly.
Because every company is here. Whatever the game you're playing, the company is there to support the product. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you're looking for a new game, this is also the place, right? You want to do demos or try stuff.
There's like the vendor halls, all the booths have demo. I mean, one of the booths that had the most people each time I went to browse around, Arena Rex. And also Rune Wars and a lot of people all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great show for everything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've pretty much covered it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So we fly home tomorrow. And I'll try to get this out sometime this week.
Best of luck with that.
Yeah. Do what I can. So on that note, I guess I'll see you soon, Steve.
Well, you see me right now. We're in front of each other.
I meant on the mic.
Oh, okay. See you soon on the mic then.
Bye, geeks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PR Filio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve. And if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.